Don't get too distracted with everything that's going on out in the world and with your shopping and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. You know, you could go through the whole season and not even know that Jesus Christ exists if you would allow yourself to get distracted like that. Amen. It is no accident that, you know, they bring out movies and put all this commercialism and shopping and everything right around this time to keep you distracted from the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, yes. So you make sure you let them know that it is Christmas. It is not Xmas. Xmas is the unknown. It's an unknownness. No, it's not a, you don't have to guess. You can know for yourself. It is Christmas. Be sure and share with your friends, your coworkers, that they can be a new creature in the new year. Amen. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then just ask them the question, what makes it a new year? That's one question. And the second question, ask them, how can I pray for you for 2016? That's all. Don't get too deep with folks. What makes it a new year? And how can I pray for you going into 2016? Share the gospel. Just real. Make it really simple. Amen. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you for your word being a lamp, being a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. Illuminate the way, Lord. It's really, the waters are really choppy, Lord, and the road is narrow, Lord, and the light is kind of dim, Lord, and we're trying our best to navigate day to day, Lord, as we finish this year. So much coming at us, Lord, but we thank you for your word. It tells us how to live, how to think, how to talk, how to act, how to love, how to live. And we bless you for that, Lord. We need it today more than ever. Speak to us through your word. We bless you on today. Bless your people through your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe I said Matthew chapter 1. So we study a little bit on the Christmas message, and it's not going to be a traditional Christmas message, but just to know that, make a note that Matthew's gospel is written by a Jew, which is Matthew. It's written to Jews, and it's about a Jew. That's why you look at verse 1, it starts with one, Matthew 1 and 1, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He connects the dots all the way from the beginning of the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of the Israelites, all the way up to the birth of Christ. Verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. This is where it started, the Jewish lineage. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Tamar, and of Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Try saying that three times fast, amen? And Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And here we go, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's a whole lot. That gets pretty deep. But just let's take a pause. And what I'm trying to show you is one of the things we've learned on Wednesday night, that God is a God of detail. So notice, God is a God of detail. God is a God of specifics. Nothing in your life happens on accident. It's all planned. Even in the midst of the brokenness is excellence, and it's God's hand guiding. It might look like it's just a bunch of stuff all jumbled together, but in the end, as you continue on with your walk with God, it will all make sense. So make a note, God is a God of detail. God is a God of specifics. So every little thing counts. Sometimes we wonder, oh, just the little things that I do, is God watching? Yes, God is watching. He pays close attention to the little things because he's a God of specifics and detail. And then look at verse 5 again. Very encouraging in verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. You got two ladies in there. In the lineage. And it doesn't mention, as I was going through it, those are the first two ladies that hit me. And Rahab, make a note that she was also mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And she's a hero of faith. So this is what we learn from Rahab. And if you don't know her background, we're going to touch a little bit of it. But she was a harlot. She was a woman of the night. She was and she was a street woman. So this is what we learned by looking at Rahab. During this Christmas season, don't judge people based upon, as you're with your family and friends, don't judge people based upon where they are or what they have been. Based upon Rahab's life, we see that she was a hoe. She was a whore. Since it's Christmas season, Santa Claus would say she was a ho, ho, ho. Sorry, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. But God shows us that you can't judge people where they are or what they're doing right now. And when we look at it, Rahab was hoping that someone would come and introduce her to Jesus Christ. She was hoping someone would come and introduce her to Jesus Christ. Let's take a quick look. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2. When you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. So here we are at Joshua chapter 2. Let's start at verse 9. Rahab, she's already hid the spies. They sent 12 to scout out the land that God had given them. She hid the two that came back with the favorable report. The other 10 said, we can't do it. You've got to be careful who you listen to. One person with God is a majority. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look what Rahab says in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know. Somebody underline, I know. She's walking the streets. She's living in the streets. She's living a terrible life. But she says, I know the Lord hath given you the land. You'll be surprised at how many people know about God who's not living for God, and they're hoping someone would come and tell them about God to give them some hope in the midst of their mess. There's excellence in the midst of brokenness. There's a master plan in the midst of our mess. And you would look at Rahab and say, man, she'll never get it. She's walking the street. She's turning tricks. She's doing whatever. She's a lost cause. And here she is, she says, I know God, I know that God has given you the land. And that your awesomeness, your terror has fallen upon us, and that all in the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, verse 10, how the Lord, you're going through, you're living a life, but you heard what God has done. I'm hoping someone would come and share with me that it's not too late for me to get my life together during this Christmas season. Rahab is hoping and praying that someone godly would come into her life. Somebody's hoping and praying that we would come into their life. I don't care what they're doing, how bad it looks. When you look at their heart, they're crying out to God. Amen. Don't look at where they are, what they've done. Look at their heart and you know that they need God. And then share with them. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard, these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, underline the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven and above all and in earth beneath. She knows about God despite her lifestyle. And she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There's hope for us. You're never too bad. You're done it. You couldn't do anything. We learned last week that would separate you from the love of God. And now through the grace of God, now we're in that lineage of Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with the Father and joint heirs with the Son. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you did with it, how you did it. God said, I love you. And he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And Rahab is a perfect example of that. She even made it to the Hall of Faith because of her faith in God in the midst of her mess. Look at her prayer. Write this prayer down. Highlight this prayer. Pray this prayer as we close the, add this to your prayer list as we're closing out this year. Now therefore I pray. So you wouldn't think somebody like that could pray. You think they're a lost cause. You just don't know. People are praying and they're hoping that God would send someone to show them that I still love you. I care about you. You're not a lost cause. You're not that bad. You're not worse than anybody else. You haven't done anything that's worse than any other sin because they're all the same. You can pray and reach out to God. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. That you will give me a true pledge. And look what she says in verse 13. It's our Christmas prayer. And that you would save alive my father and my mother, my brother. And this is what it's about during Christmas time. It's not about getting stuff. It's about, Lord, please save my family. Because all this stuff don't mean nothing. God, please save my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all that they have and deliver them and deliver our lives from death. That's why we pray for our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids and our parents and our youth. We pray, God, deliver them from death, because we know the enemy come to steal, kill and destroy. But God has come that we would have life and that more abundantly. The men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, underline when, he's not say if, but he said it shall be when the Lord, because God's going to do it. Either you'll be a part of the plan or you'll get in the way and you'll get smashed, you'll get stepped on, but God's going to do it. Or you'll get left behind, but God's going to do it. When the Lord had given us this land, that we would deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless. We're going to do our part. God is saying, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to keep my word. And you need to keep yours. Verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land and thou shalt bind this line of scarlet. Look how God has given types and shadows of Christ. Put this red thread. Remember, what was it? The first Sunday we went over the Passover when they paint the blood on the. Yeah. He said, put this red thread in your window. Behold, when we come into the land, verse 18, and thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which you did let us down by, and thou shalt bring your father and your mother and your brother and all your father's household home with you. Bring them to the house. What did God tell him when he did the Passover? Put it over the side and the post and stay in the house. Don't go outside. Tell him the same thing. Stay in the house. Bring them into the house. And look. Verse 19, it should be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house. You can go out of the safety of God. You can do your own thing and you can be outside of the safety of God. And God is saying, that's on you. You could tell people what to do and they could say, nah, we cool. I'll go outside. I don't care about that. I don't want to be in your house. You got that red thing hanging in your window. That's on you. I ain't got to deal with that. That's your stuff. And it should be that whosoever should go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood should be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever should be with thee in the house, his blood should be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if you utter, if you tell any of this, if you tell any of this business, then this oath is over, which we have made unto us. It's always an if. Your life comes down to two letters, if. God always says, if you will seek, you will find. If you would do this, then I will. It's always a condition. If lets you know that you always have a choice. Verse 21, she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Somebody say amen. That's Rahab. And then we get to the other young lady. It's actually two ladies within the story of Ruth. Amen. So turn to Judges. I'm sorry. Turn to Ruth, chapter 1. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Right next door to Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. Ruth 1 and 16. This is what Ruth and Naomi teach us during this Christmas season. Rahab taught us that we shouldn't judge people based upon where they are or what they've done and where they are right now. Naomi and Ruth teaches us that you can't, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge your future with God based upon where you are now. This is what Naomi and Ruth teach us. Let me say it again. Don't judge your future with God based upon where you are now. Don't be so hard on yourself is what Naomi teaches us. Look really quickly at verse 1 and 19. And just to give you the background, Naomi and her husband and her two sons went to Moab for business. During the course of it, unfortunately, Naomi, her husband dies. Then her two sons die. She's left with the two daughter-in-laws. Oprah decides to go back to the Moabites. Ruth says, I want to stay with you and God's people. So look at Naomi. She's pretty much lost everything. You could have lost everything. But you can't judge yourself by what you've lost and where you are now. Can't judge your future. She even went so far as to change her name. Look at verse 1 and 19. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved. They were excited about them, and they said, is that Naomi? She's been gone. Is that Naomi? Verse 20, she said unto them, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Don't change your name based upon your circumstances, family. That's what I want you to know this Christmas. No, don't change your name based upon what you've lost and what the circumstances look like. Don't change from pleasant to bitter because of what you've gone through and what you've lost. Sometimes God's math is called like addition by subtraction. God's math and his formulas are not the same as the world's formula. God said if you lose it, you find it, which makes no sense. If you humble yourself, you get lifted up. And he said, if you die, you live. He said, if I take it away, I'm going to give you something more. She said, don't call me. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. Don't judge yourself based upon your name. Judge yourself based upon the name that is above every name. And family, it goes back to where we were last week, that Romans 8:28. Everything that happens in our life is molding us and shaping us to help us look more like Jesus Christ. Look at Ruth. All she had. Sometimes all you have is God. Look at Ruth. When she told Ruth, go on back. I don't have any more kids. I'm too old. And if I did have another kid in my old age, would you really wait for him to grow up to marry him? 1:16. And Ruth said, don't force me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. This is more than just words at a wedding. This is our relationship with God. This is not just said at a wedding. For where you go, I will go. And for where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's her mother-in-law. That's her mother-in-law. And you can't tell me you can't get along with your wife. That's her mother-in-law. You can't tell me you can't get along with your parents and your kids. That's her mother-in-law. Can't tell me you can't get along with your brothers and sisters. That's her mother-in-law. She said, I will never leave you until one of us dies. And I'm not going to kill you. And I hope you don't kill me. Husbands, to death do us part. That don't mean you trying to get rid of somebody. That's her mother-in-law. So she teaches us that sometimes all you have is God. This Christmas season, you might have nothing else but God. And you're right where you need to be. All you might have is a people of God. You're right where you need to be. Look also what one thing about Ruth I want you to highlight. Look at 4:11, what it teaches us. And this is Boaz, and we're going to get into Boaz in just a minute. It's what Ruth teaches us. In addition to sometimes you might only have God. 3:11. Is it 3:11? Yes, 3:11. Sorry about that. Ruth 3:11. This is Boaz saying, and now my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do to thee all that you have requested. For all the city of my people, they do know that you are a virtuous woman. Make a note, ladies, during this Christmas time, especially our young ladies, that living right and being right does pay off in the eyes of God. Amen. Young ladies, it's okay to live right. God sees what you're doing. Said all the people do know. God takes note that you are a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am your kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Make a note, living right attracts the favor of God. Make a note, living right attracts the favor of God. Look at 2:9. Make a note Boaz is a just man. Just like we're going to see in just a few minutes that Joseph was a just man. So, man, this is a note for us to be just, to be fair, to be loving, to be caring to the women in our life. Whether it's our wives, our moms, our daughters. Be just. Be fair. Show grace, show love, show mercy during this Christmas season. Amen. Verse 10. And Ruth wanted to just come and work in the fields. Make a note, Ruth is a stranger. She is a foreigner. She's an immigrant. She comes from a place with many gods, joining herself to people with only one God. She was there serving a pagan God, and now she wants to come and serve the true and living God. They didn't discriminate against her. Make a note, God is inclusive. God doesn't discriminate against anyone. We tell God, I don't want you. God never tells us he didn't want us. Matter of fact, he wanted so much he died for us. Don't get it twisted. God is very inclusive. He shows us here in verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take acknowledgement of me, seeing that I am a stranger? You don't even know me. Make a note. Imagine God is saying this to you, and you're saying, God, why do you care about me so much? God, why do you love me? Why did you die? I'm a stranger, God. I'm a sinner. I have nothing in common with you. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has fully been shown to me. And I told you to make a note. Living right is always noticed in the eyes of God. Living right brings the favor of God on your life. It has fully been showed me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of the nativity and art come unto a people which you don't even know. There's a whole nother message in there. When Jesus said, who don't ever forsake their father and mother and sister. That's another message for another time. But you see it right here. Verse 12, the Lord return your work and a full reward be given unto you of the Lord of God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust. Make a note of that. Wow. In the midst of her father-in-law dying, her brother-in-law dying, her husband dying, she came to trust God. She came to trust God. In the midst of the mess, in the brokenness was excellence, and she comes to trust God. That's that word. I mean, we'll just skate by that, but that's tough. That's hard to do. That's powerful. And not only that, she left everything. Sometimes all you will have is God. And you got to trust in God. I know it's going to change. I don't know when, but I know it's going to get better. And you see that it's noticed. He said it's fully been showed to me. God will show people to give you favor. You don't have to manipulate and connive and stab somebody in the back. Just live right and God will allow them to see, I need to have some favor on this person. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto your handmaiden, though I be not like one of you. You treat me just like I'm a child of God. You're treating me just, God, you treat me just like everybody else. You don't discriminate against me. Somebody make a note of that. How we should treat everybody with the love of God. That's a tough one too, but that's our goal. And that's with the power of God in us, we can. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the vinegar And she sat beside the reapers, and each reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. So he said, come on to the table with the family. Hopefully in your house at Christmas, you don't have a table where the family eats and a table where somebody else got to eat. Amen. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean or to finish reaping the corn, Boaz commanded his young men, look at this, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and don't rebuke her. Let her work just like everybody else. Let her work like part of the family. And also, also let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and don't rebuke her. And you look up the word purpose, it's like let some gifts fall. While she's working in her area, put some gift cards, put some money down there, put some jewelry down there, put some bless her with some stuff. In the midst of her working, give her some more stuff and leave them there. And let her get them also. And don't bother her. God's blessing her right there. Look at 4:11. Let's finish tying up Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. Verse 4. Let's do 4 and 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahon, have I purchased to be my wife. Boaz winds up marrying her. To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses today. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. And look what their blessing is. The Lord make the woman that is coming to the house like Rachel and Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. They're saying, let Ruth be like that. Let her come into the lineage of the living God like Rachel and Leah to build the house of Israel. And do that worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. You see that she's in the lineage in the book of Matthew. And let the house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And when he laid down with her, the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord. They didn't hate on her. They said, blessed be the Lord, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And it shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Somebody say amen. And a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became a nurse unto it. Isn't that something? Naomi became the nurse unto the child. My note says here that Ruth is the great grandmother of David. And that would make Naomi part of that lineage as well, as a mother-in-law. Great grandmothers in here, you have no idea what God is going to do through your great grandchild. Don't count them out. You have no idea what God is going to do, despite what it looks like. Great grandmothers, grandmothers, you have no idea what God is going to do through that child. Make a note of that. That's what this teaches us as well. And the women, verse 17, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Thought it was born to Ruth, but it's born to Naomi too. She's a part of this. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, how did they know that? And look at verse 22. And we get to the lineage. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. That looks very similar. Let's go back to Matthew 1. That looks very similar to Matthew 1. Matthew is showing how the lineage, how the line, how it's all connected. And through that lineage, look at 1:16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. It's all connected. And then we look at Mary. And this is what Mary teaches us. Don't judge people based on how things look on the outside. What do I mean by that? Because she was a pregnant teenager. Don't judge by what you see. You see a pregnant teenager, go, oh my God, look at that. Don't judge by the outside, but you got to wait and see what God is doing on the inside. Amen. The Holy Spirit is on the inside working, and there's a child in there, but they looked at her. And then Joseph even said, I got to put her away. I got to get rid of her because she's pregnant and this thing ain't going to work because I know it's not me. Look at that. Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, before they got together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And she tried to explain to Joseph that this was that God impregnated her. And Joseph, he thought to himself, okay, well, it's the Holy Ghost. Well, you and the Holy Ghost going to pack your stuff and get out of here. That's how that's going down. Ladies, try that. Next time you conceive, say, well, it's the Holy Ghost. Your husband saying, honey, we haven't been together in a while. Matter of fact, Joseph is saying, we ain't never been together. And she said, I know, but it's the Holy Ghost. Right? I'm going to call the U-Haul truck. You and the Holy Ghost going to get y'all stuff and y'all out of here. But look at 19. Just like Boaz. See, it's something about being in God's family as men. We have to be just men. We have to be right. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We can't just fly off the handle. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public spectacle, he didn't put her on Front Street because he was a good man. A good man never puts his wife on Front Street. Never puts his mom, his daughter, his sister on Front Street. Not a good man. It runs in the family from Boaz to Joseph, good men. To Jesus Christ, good men. You and I, men, good men. Yes. I'm not going to put my wife on blast. I'm not going to put her and make her a private example. I got to do this privately. I have to do it discreetly. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Somebody highlight that. It was tough for Mary. She's scared. She's young. She's a teenager. She's shamed. They're calling her a liar and a fornicator and adulteress. Look at, turn with me quickly to John. As we wrap this thing up, turn to John 8. And it stayed with Jesus, too. I mean, this is serious. Look at John 8:40. And Jesus is saying, he's trying to figure out what. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth. Somebody say the truth hurts, right? It does. And we know that they want answers, but they don't want truth because they can't handle the truth. Amen. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Look what they tell him in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. Dude, your mama was sleeping around. You ain't even legitimate. You're illegitimate. Your mama was a, you know what? I mean, it gets real heated. I wish I had time to go through all this, but this is a heated. They told him your mama's this. And then he tells him your daddy's a devil. Look at verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. So they're talking about mamas and daddies. You know it's getting ready to be a fight. Fighting words. Go back to Matthew 1 and let's close it up. But you see, that stigma stayed with Mary her whole life. Until Jesus was resurrected. It followed her son. He's a grown man. And they're still talking about what his mama did when he was born. I had no idea. Verse 21, Matthew 1 and 21. And she shall bring forth his son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with the child. It was already prophesied. Shall bring forth his son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had told him, and he took unto Mary his baby's mama. I'm sorry, his wife. Young ladies, you want to be a wife, you don't want to be a baby's mama. Men, you want to be a husband, you don't want to be a baby daddy. I don't even know what that is. Just the way God meant it to be, husband and wife. Verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's where we're going to stop today. If you would, we'll close in prayer, but just bow your heads. Think about what God has shared with us this morning. It's not about where you are, what you've done. It's about what God is doing in you. God, thank you for Rahab. Thank you for mentioning Rahab and Ruth, Lord. Thank you for showing us, Lord, that despite what we've done or where we've come from or what we've been involved in, God, you love us unconditionally. And you died for us too. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bless you for that, Lord. And then for Mary, a scared teenage young lady, pregnant, with all type of labels attached to her. The midst of it, you sent good men. You sent Boaz. You sent Joseph. You sent good men to walk beside them, Lord. Lord, I'm praying for all the grandmothers and the mothers and the ladies here and the wives that you send good men into their lives to walk beside them. Praying for the men that we would be those good men. That will walk beside our wives and our mothers and our mother-in-laws and our sisters and our nieces, Lord. We're praying that we would be those men, the men that would walk in integrity. We would show love and kindness, Lord. Not because of what we are, but because of who you are in us. And because you showed kindness to us, even though we were strangers. We were estranged from you and you died for us. God, we can't help but return that love. So in this holiday Christmas season, let us remember what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ dying and saving us from our sins. Using blessed women in the process. Using blessed men in the process. it's going to take for us to reach this world. Bless men and bless women going out. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Maybe someone is here and saying, Pastor, I just kind of get the picture now, and I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But during this season, I see how Jesus came to save his people, which is us, from our sins. And this morning, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to kind of get back on track. I was letting stuff and situation and circumstance keep me from God. But I saw through Rahab's example, despite what she was, despite what they called her, she still wanted to know God. She still had a connection to God. And when she had the opportunity, she gave her heart and her life to God. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I just need to get reconnected with God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. You've been visiting. You say, Pastor, I've been coming. I enjoy the fellowship, the worship, the word. And today I want to join. I don't want to just be a member, but I want to be part of the South Bay Abundant Life family. We're not members. We're family. If that's you, elevate your hand. Love to be your pastor, and we'd love to be your family. Lord, how we thank you as you call us out upon the waters, the great unknown. Trust in you, Lord. I'm gonna ask my brother Gene to come on up, and welcome to the family, Brother Gene. Glad to have you, man. I know you've been fellowshipping with the men, and man, we're just really grateful. I'm asking some of the men to come up and surround this good brother. Well, we're not finished yet. Well, come on up. Got my mother-in-law, Dorothy, wants to join the church. Amen. Going to ask some of the ladies to come up and join us as well. Lord, what a great gift you've given us. The gift of love, the gift of fellowship, the gift of family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Lord, we welcome, just like you welcome us to your family, Lord, we welcome them to this church family. Thank you for Brother Gene and Sister Dorothy, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, as you're adding to the church. And Lord, we don't get caught up in numbers, Lord. It's not about the number of people. It's about the number of people that are in agreement. We thank you, Lord. We're in agreement that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are King. You called us to make disciples and to go out and build your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we are in agreement. Send those in agreement with us, Lord. As we lift up the name that's above every name, that name of Jesus. Thank you for Brother Gene. Thank you for Brother Dorothy. What a blessed day it is. What a great gift for us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. What a great day for the family here. She welcomed us, we welcome them with open arms. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's give him a hug. Welcome to the family, brother. Love to have you. Hey, Mom, look at that.
All right.
And if I could just see the seasoned saints for 1 minute in the back before you leave. The seasoned saints, everyone stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.
All right, Pastor.